إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Inshallah, this is going to be the continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Aqidatu Al-Hamawiyya of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. We'll continue from where he said, ثُمَّ مِنَ الْمَحَالِ أَيْضًا أَن تَقُونَ الْقُرُونُ الْفَاضِلَةِ الْقَرْنُ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ كَانُوا غَيْرَ عَالِمِينَ وَغَيْرَ قَائِلِينَ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ بِالْحَقِّ الْمُبِينَ. Last week, we read a part of this section where Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah establishes the fact that it is not possible for Al-Qurun Al-Mufaddala, the best generation so far, the best three generations as mentioned in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the generation that he lived in and his companions. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, and the generation that came after that, and the generation that came after that. These were the best generations. The generations of the Prophet and the companions sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the generation of the tabi'un, those who came after them, and the generation of the tabi'u tabi'in, those who came after the second generation. You see, this generation, the Prophet said, were the best generation in Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the sense that they were closer to the revelation, to the period of revelation, than every other generation that came after those ones. They were closer. The generation of the companion was the best because it was the generation that received, you know, revelation. It was the period the Prophet was receiving revelation. That generation was the best generation. Anything that happened, it was easy for the companions to approach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what is the ruling on this? Or they found someone doing so and so thing. It was easy for them to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this correct? You know. So they were close. They were in the period when revelation, you know, was being sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was the best generation. They practiced the best of religion. And that was why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would always refer to them in the Quran. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. Anyone who believes, if people coming, generations coming, if they were to believe the way you companions believe today, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا, then they are indeed guided. They are guided. So meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attached our guidance you know, through the guidance of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how much of conviction do they have with what they are doing? Was it like that of the conviction of the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in? So that generation was the best generation. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says that al-Qarn al-Awwal, that first generation, yantahi fi sanat al-Arba'in, it actually ended 40 years after. That first generation actually ended 40 years after. Fi akhiri ahadi al-Khulafa al-Rashidin. That was towards the end of the period of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. So the next best generation was the generation of the Tabi'un. The generation of the Tabi'un. It is called Al-Qarn al-Thani. وَالْقَرْنُ الثَّانِي يَنْتَهِي فِي السَّنَةِ الثَّمَانِينَ فِي إِمَارَةِ إِبْنِ الزُّبَيْرِ. That generation also ended 80 years after. Meaning that after 40 years, another 40 years. So 80 years after, that was during the leadership of Ibn Zubayr and Abdul Malik Ibn Marwan. That was when the second generation actually ended. Then the third generation, which was the generation of the Tabi'u Tabi'in. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, يَنْتَهِي فِي سَنَةِ الْعِشْرِينَ بَعْدَ الْمِئَةِ. It ended 120 years after. 120, meaning 40 years. Each generation lasted for 40 years. So the first best generation, 40 years. Second best generation, another 40 years. And the third best generation, another 40 years. And it said this third generation ended في أواخر الخلافة الأموية وأوائل الخلافة العباسية, during the period, the early period of the Abbasid, you know, Khalifacy, or we say towards the end of the Umayyad Khalifacy. You see, so these are the best generations. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that it is not possible for this generation not to understand or not to know the asma wa sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will not discuss it in any way. He said, min al-nahal, that is absolutely impossible. So this part we read, this part was read last week, and we explained that. But towards the end of that section, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, li'anna bidda dhalik, the opposite of that, imma adamul ilmi wal qawli, is to claim that those companions did not have the knowledge about the asma of Allah, about the sifat of Allah. It is to claim that those companions did not have the knowledge, or the generations, the three generations, did not have the knowledge of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa imma i'tiqad naqid al-haqq wa qawlin khilaf al-sidq. Or we say that they held on to a wrong position, a wrong aqidah about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh said, وَكِلَاهُمَا مُمْتَنِعِ, both of them are not possible. Both of them. Saying that they do not have the knowledge, did not possess the knowledge, is wrong, is impossible. Saying that they held on to wrong aqidah about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely impossible. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. So if they were on the wrong path, how will Allah say our iman, if it is like their iman, we are on the right path? Huh? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاء. Allah does not order people to do fahsha. Allah will not say you should do something or all they believe in contrary to the truth. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, أَمَّا الْأَوَّلِ, as for the first one, saying that the three generations did not possess the knowledge, or they lacked the knowledge of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, فَلِأَنَّ مِنْ man fi qalbihi adna haya wa talbin lil ilmi aw nahmatin fil ibada yakunu al bahthu an hadha al bab wa al su'al anhu wa ma'rifatu al haqq fihi akbar maqasidihi. He said the reason why he said it is not possible to claim that these three generations did not have the knowledge about the sifat of Allah, that is why he didn't say anything about it. He said the reason why he said it is not possible is that it is not possible for somebody who is living in this earth, on this earth, somebody who has struggled to gather knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way the companions did, the way the tabi'un did to get knowledge from the companions, the way the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu would sit around him to gather knowledge from him, the way the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas would do, the way the students of Aisha radiallahu anha, and many of these tabi'un, the way they would struggle to get knowledge from the companions who got knowledge from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the level of the ibadah, the level of devotion to the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for this kind of babu of sifat of Allah will not be one of the greatest things they want to learn. He said that is why he said it is not possible to claim that they do not have the knowledge, because the later scholars, especially the people of ilm al-kalam, one of the things they do say is that the scholars do not possess the absolute knowledge in details of the text. They only saw the text, they believe in it, and that was all. They said the later scholars were the ones who have the knowledge of the details of the sifat of Allah, of nusus al-Quran, the nusus of Sunnah. They have the details, they can interpret. They have some other ulumul ala, you know, to interpret the text of Allah better than the interpretation of the salaf. That is what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is trying to debunk in this statement, to say that it is not possible to ascribe ignorance to the salaf. Not possible. It's not possible. He said, "أعني بيان ما ينبغي اعتقاده." For them not to have the explanation, the details of what they need to know in terms of i'tiqad, aqidah of Allah, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The aqidah about the sifat of Allah, about the attributes of Allah, about the names of Allah. Not, he said, لا معرفة كيفية ربي وصفاته. We are not talking about the كيفية. The كيفية is not known. We also believe, the Ahlul Sunnah say, the كيفية, the how of it, is not known. Allah says he has hands. The كيفية الأجيد. How does the arm look like? Allah says he descends from the heaven down to the nearest heaven, the third part of the night, every day. The kayfiyya of how it descends, do we know it? We don't know it. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah said, لا معرفة كيفية ربي وصفاته. We're not talking about the kayfiyya of Allah. We're not talking about the kayfiyya of his sifat, because we do not know it. The yadu, Allah says he has hand. We believe in it. Allah says he has faith. We believe in it. Allah says he talks about his shin. We believe in it. Allah talks about his eyes. We believe in it. I mean, wasna'i al-fulka bi'ayunina. He told Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, make the ark, construct the ark bi'ayunina, with our eyes watching you. Okay? The Ash'ari will say bi'ayunina does not mean eyes. Don't interpret it as eyes. Bi'ayunina, that is, bi rahmatina, with our mercy. Be fadlina, or be kuwatina, or be evenina, with our permission. Why? They say, do not ascribe eyes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everywhere in the Quran, where Allah describes himself with eyes, a'yuni, with aynu, they say change the meaning. If you are doing the tafsir of the Quran, and you get to be a'yunina, how will you interpret it? Will you say the eyes of Allah, or you say the rahmah of Allah? If you say the rahmah of Allah, you have followed a sect, the Asha'irah. You have followed a sect, maybe the Mu'tazila, and some other sects who change the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of the sifat of Allah. Now, the fact that the Ahl Sunnah are saying, be a'ayunina with our eyes, saying a'ayun here means eyes, does not mean that if you ask them, how do the eyes of Allah look like? Then they will be able to describe it. They won't be able to describe it. They will tell you, we don't know. Why? Because the Prophet did not describe the eyes of Allah to us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we now go back to the ayah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That there is none like to, that is, that can be likened to Allah. There is none that can be likened to Allah. No one can be like Allah. So no sifa among the sifat of Allah can be like the sifa among the sifat of other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that human beings have eyes, and Allah says they have eyes, does not mean the eyes look alike. Even among the creatures of Allah, do all eyes look alike? The eyes of an ant. The ant has eyes. Do you want to compare it with the eyes of the cow? It's not possible. Or the eyes of an owl, a kind of bird. Or the eyes of an elephant, or that of a lion, or that of a snake, the reptiles. So even among the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same attributes that we all have, they do not look alike. They do not, even among human beings, some eyes are big, while some people have very tiny eyes. And those tiny eyes, they might be sharper than the big eyes. And they'll be able to see things very, very far. And the one with big eyes will need support. Glasses before you can see, he will need support. So even among human beings, our eyes do not function the same way. How will somebody say that because we say Allah has eyes, since he said he has eyes, then we are likening the eyes of Allah with the eyes of his creatures? We do not say that. The Ahl Sunnah are not saying that. Because we believe in the ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is none like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the whole of his sifat. In the whole of his sifat. So Ibn Taymiyyah said, he said, لَا مَعْرِفَةَ كَيْفِيَةِ الرَّبِّ وَصِفَاتِهِ. We are not saying that the Salaf, they know the kayfiyah of Allah. How does it look like? You are disturbing yourself. You cannot get it anywhere. He himself did not describe that to us. He's on his arsh. How is he on his arsh? Is he sitting down? Is he lying down on the arsh? Is he standing on the arsh? How is he on the arsh? We don't know. If you keep asking about that, then you become a person of bid'ah. Because you can never get an answer to it. Unless you get inspired from shaitan. And shaitan lies to the people. And somebody will come and say that Allah, I met Allah one-on-one. I held meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are you to hold meeting with Allah? Even the Prophet, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ridwanullah alayhim, they did not say they held meeting with Allah. You remember one man, they said it's Jabaru. Many years back, Jabbar said he would hold meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see the way he ended? He didn't end well. He didn't end well. So, The Sheikh said, he said, وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ مَعْلُومٌ بِالْفِطْرَةِ الْوُجْدِيَّةِ فَكَيْفَ يُتَصَوَّرُ مَعَ كِيَانِ هَذَا الْمُقْتَدَى الَّذِي هُوَ مِنْ أَقْوَى الْمُقْتَدَيَاتِ أَنْ يَتَخَلَّفَ عَنْهُ مُقْتَدَاهُ فِي أُولَئِكَ السَّادَّةِ فِي مَجْمُوعِ أُصُولِهِمْ هَذَا لَا يَكَادُ يَقَعُ مِنْ أَبْلَدِ الْخَلْقِ وَأَشَدِّهِمْ إِعْرَاضًا عَنِ اللَّهِ وَأَعْظَمِهِمْ إِكْبَابًا عَلَى طَلَبِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْغَفْلَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فَكَيْفَ يَقَعُ مِنْ أُولَئِكَ. He said, all these thinkings we have talked about cannot even happen from somebody who is أَبْلَدِ الْخَلْقِ. The most stupid person can never think about that. To describe the companions as being ignorant, to describe the Salaf as being ignorant. Okay, you are not saying they are ignorant. You are saying they held the wrong Aqidah. Because if you are saying that your own Aqidah about the Sifat of Allah is correct, you are saying the Aqidah of the Salaf about the Sifat of Allah is incorrect. Is that you say they held the wrong Aqidah about the attributes of Allah, or you say they are ignorant? If Demia said nobody will ever think about something like this, it can not even from min abladil khalqi, the most stupid person, wa shaddihim iradan anillah, or the one who goes away completely, far away from Allah, will ever think or ascribe ignorance to this fellow. You know, is it the worldly affairs that people are looking for? Even those who have ikbab to talabud dunya, who not even say that, ascribing ignorance to the scholars. They were closer to revelation than every other generation that came after. So meaning they were closer to the truth. As generations became farther from the period of revelation, the more lies and fabrications took over the system, the society. Because we became farther, more farther from the period of revelation. So a lot of lies, a lot of fabrications sprang up in the process. The way they did not spring up in the period of revelation and the generation that followed that and the generation that came after that. So this person is saying, no, this is the right Aqidah. We now check what he is saying compared to what the Salaf said. We can see that one is wrong. Who are we going to force, the Salaf or this Khalaf? I want to force the Khalaf. Because the Salaf, it is not possible for them to be unanimous on a position. That all of them were saying the same thing about the Sifat of Allah. It is not possible that they will be wrong. وأما كونهم كانوا معتقدين فيه غير الحق أو قائليه فهذا لا يعتقده مسلم. Ibn Taymiyyah said, for somebody to claim that they were on the wrong aqidah, that they were not holding on to the truth, or they are saying the wrong thing about the sifat of Allah, فهذا لا يعتقده مسلم ولا عاقل. He said, no Muslim will hold this kind of belief. Nobody who has his aql, his intellect functioning well, harafa al halal qawm, who actually knows the situation of the Salaf, who knows the conditions of the Salaf, who knows about the Salaf very well, would hold such aqidah about them. ثُمَّ الْكَلَامُ عَنْهُمْ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ أَنْ يُمْكِنَ سَطْرُهُ فِي هَذَا الْفَتْوَى أَوْ أَضْعَافِهَا يُعْرَفْ ذَلِكَ مِنْ طَلَبِهِ وَتَتَبُعِهِ. So he said, talking about this more and more, we cannot spend the whole of the time to expatiate more than we have actually done. He said, وَلَا يَجُوزُ أَيْضًا, it is not also proper, أَنْ يَكُونَ الْخَالِفُونَ أَعْلَمْ مِنَ السَّالِفِينَ, it is not possible for those who came thereafter to be more knowledgeable than those who came before, the foremost. Allah even refers to them as what? As-sabiqoon al-awwaloon. Al-awwaloon. As-sabiqoon al-awwaloon. Min al-muhajirina wal-ansar. So he said, لا يجوز أيضا أن يكون الخالفون أعلم من السالفين. It's not possible for the Khalifun to have more knowledge about the Aqidah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about this issue of sifat of Allah, than the Salaf, those who came before them. For them to now start dictating what is right and what is wrong about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كما يقوله بعض الأغبياء. Just like the way some foolish people would say, مِمَّنْ لَمْ يَقْدِرْ قَدْرَ السَّلَفِ, those who are not up to the standard and the level of the Salaf, you know, in terms of knowledge, in terms of understanding, in terms of practices, in terms of experience. بَلْ وَلَا عَرَفَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِهِ حَقِيقَةَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ. These people do not even know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not even have the knowledge of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even the believers, the way they should have the knowledge. Al-ma'mur biha min anna tariqat al-salaf aslam wa tariqat al-khalaf a'lam wa ahkam. That is their statement. They say tariqat al-salaf aslam. What does that mean? That the way of the Salaf, yes, is purer actually, but tariqat al-khalaf a'lam wa ahkam. That the way of the people who came before them, it is more knowledgeable, more challenging. And it is better to follow the hukmu they lay down on these issues than following the way of the Salaf. This is the statement of the Abdiya. As Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is referring to, that كَمَا يَقُولُهُ بَعْضُ الْأَذْبِيَاءِ, that some of them, this is what they say, they will say طَرِيقَةُ الْخَلَفِ أَسْلَمْ, of course, but طَرِيقَةُ الْخَلَفِ, the way of the Khalaf is what? Is أَعْلَمْ وَأَحْكَمْ. Nobody will say that except a Gobiyun. The reason why they will say this is because they want to rubbish and bring down completely, you know, the worth of the Salaf among the people. They want to rubbish the worth of the Salaf. So if you are saying the Salaf, the Aqidah on this issue is this, you say, leave the issue of the Salaf. Do you know the worth of so-and-so Sheikh? So-and-so professor? What he did? Mention one among the Salaf who did what he did. Subhanallah. So they say the tariqat al-khalaf is a'lam wa ahkam. It is more full of knowledge, more than the tariqat al-salaf. What knowledge are we talking about? What knowledge? Imam Shafi'i said, when you say knowledge, it is called Allah, called the Rasul. Wa qala al-sahaba, what Allah says, what the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the companion said, what the practice. That is knowledge. That is knowledge. Anything aside that is not knowledge. It is because they have introduced philosophy to the field of the deen to start juxtaposing what can we say is right, what can we say is wrong among the tariqat al-salaf. They start checking, you know, what the scholars have said, what Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, what Imam Shafi'i said, what Imam Malik, what he said, you know, the scholars in the past, what they said concerning the sifat of Allah and other issues of the deen, they will say that is no more practicable. You cannot practice it now. So they bring their own philosophy, and ever since they have been doing that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually protecting his deen, no matter how popular their position is in the society, no matter how much shaitan has made their position to be acceptable among the people. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tazalu ta'ifatun min ummati zahirina ala al-haq. There will still be some set of people among this ummah who will always be displaying what is true to the people. the right aqidah. If you look at Africa generally today, which aqidah, which sect is the most popular sect? In terms of population and in terms of popularity, it is the Ash'ari. In some countries, the Maturidiya. What is Ash'ari, Maturidiya? They are very close, similar. In terms of the sifat of Allah, they all do ta'wil of sifat. The Sufis and the likes like that. That is what is common. And that is why in most madaris, all the Dilekeo, madrasa, big madrasa. In Nigeria here, if you go to Ghana, if you go to Benin Republic, if you go to this and that, in Africa, which book of tafsir do they use mostly? Jalalaini. Tafsir Jalalaini. That's what's common. In most of the madaris, in Nigeria here, in the southwest, in the north, everywhere, it is Jalalaini. Which aqidah does Jalalaini have when it comes to the sifat of Allah? It is ta'wil of sifat. It changes the meaning of the sifat of Allah. That is what is contained in that tafsir Jalalaini. That is what everybody is being taught in madrasa. So if you see a typical afar from those madaris doing wazi and he's talking about Allah says this, Yadullahi fawqa aydihim, or Isma'il fulka bi a'yunina. Where any of the attributes of Allah is mentioned, he will change the meaning. That is what he learned from Tafsir Jalalain. That is what he learned from their madaris, their Ash'ari. That is how the ghost spread everywhere. Everywhere. So the same thing applies when you go to now, you know, the Europe too, America, where they study Islamic, they have Islamic studies in their various universities. It is the philosophical aqidah, the aqidah that has been mixed with philosophy, psychology, and the likes like that. So if you want to do Islamic study in the university, you must take philosophy as a course. For those who do Islamic studies, are you according? You will take philosophy. I heard the brother complaining about that subhanAllah. Yes, they have to take philosophy. And you hear their lecturers saying a lot of nonsense about the Quran. It was. I know. So that is why they have to bring that idea into the interpretation of the Quran. Islamic education should stand alone, and that knowledge, you know, should be brought in the way it was being passed from generation to generation without any intruder. The way it was passed from the Prophet to the companions, from the companions to the Tabi'un, from the Tabi'un to Tabi'un Tabi'in. Let us maintain that quality of knowledge till today. It is no more in most universities, not only Nigerian universities. Go to Europe, go everywhere. Maybe if you go to Saudi to go and school, you will have the right aqidah. But any other university, even in some Arab countries, what are they teaching? What books are they using for the aqidah? Books of the Ash'ari. One brother was complaining maybe 2 weeks ago. He also did something like Islamic studies or Arabic or something like that. And he mentioned some of the lecturers who would say that there are mistakes in the Quran. Nigerian lecturers. In our universities. Department of Islamic Studies. Department of Islamic Studies. There are mistakes. There are errors in the Quran. Half-baked knowledge. Half-baked knowledge. Show us the mistake. Show us the mistake. I said, did he mention one? He said, don't mind him. He said, for example, we should not have, it's not supposed to be Suratul Muna, Suratul Kafirun. It should be Suratul Kafirin. I said, it needs to go back to Awali Dadi. if he has not actually passed through madrasa. Maybe some of them did not even pass through madrasa. They just did all these simple thing and it became just go to Harvard University to get certificate, because he has money. Go to one university in Germany to have one doctorate degree in Islamic studies. Who are the lecturers? For you to say that there's error in the Quran. Half-baked knowledge. Yes, their leaders, their seniors are in Egypt. The likes of Taha Hussein and many other lecturers from Egypt. You know, this is what they say, that the Quran should be revised. We should have new editions of the Quran. We need to change some certain things. We need to remove some certain things. I mentioned one guy, something Kodi, the last time. Was it last year? Yeah, that's a Kodi, that he said something similar. That we should have ulama who will sit down, you know, to revise the Quran. Subhanallah, from your mouth? To revise the Quran? So we can start having editions. And we'll be holding different editions. And I'll be asking you, which edition are you reading? Subhanallah, I'm quoting now. You're asking me, from which edition are you quoting, Ustaz? No. La ya'tihi al-batil min bayni yadayhi wa la min khalfi. Tanzeelun? Wallahi. That is never going to happen, bi-iznillah. So people think they can just, because of what they have studied here and there, then they can tamper with the deen anyhow. No, la tazalu ta'ifatun min ummati zahirina ala al-haqq. Allah will continue to raise individuals, people, some set of people, they may not be much. Zahirina ala al-haqq. They will be coming out with truth. That no, they may not have professorship, but they will straighten the head of the one who says a professor in Islamic study or Arabic study. Who wants to start falsing the Quran? Who wants to start falsing verse of the Quran? Who wants to say the Prophet did not say it correctly, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So that is why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, these are foolish people. That is what he called them. Who will say that tariqatul salaf asla wa tariqatul khalaf a'lam wa ahkam. Want to bring us to the way of the khalaf. You know? Yes, the way of the khalaf, the way of philosophy, the way of psychology, to interpret the verses of the Quran. So those are the people who do ta'wil of sifat. Some of them even say, there is nothing like this sifat. Do not describe Allah. Allah does not have eyes, Allah does not have hand, Allah does not have shin, Allah does not have face, Allah does not have this and that. What about all these verses? If they give them entirely different interpretations. Allah mentions these attributes in the Quran to describe himself. The Prophet described Allah with this attribute, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are saying there is nothing like all these attributes, following the way of Jaham bin Safwan. So seriously, we need to understand the tariqat al-salaf, the way of the salaf, the pristine Islam, the pristine knowledge, the way it was being passed from generation to generation without inclusion of external bodies, orientations, philosophies. You know, we get it directly from the Salaf. And scholars, they have put it down directly in their books. That was why it was a struggle. It has been a struggle, you know, from the scholars in the past. They struggle to establish those things. Because the Ash'ariyya, the Mu'tazila, the Jahmiyyah, you know, they were all over the places. Even some of the rulers, they subscribed to the Aqidah of the Jahmiyyah. So the scholars of the Salaf who want to preach Salafiyyah, the right Aqidah, they will be in trouble. The way you are in trouble today, that they will give you different names. Because you are saying that, don't interpret Allah's attributes in that manner. They will give you this different name. The way they give you Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, they said it's among the Mujassima. And he lied to the king, and the king decided to jail him because of that. Just because of this book we are reading now. When this book was out, he was in prison because of it. But it is the way of the scholars that they are always patient when fitna, when they are experiencing fitna in disseminating you know, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to stop here inshallah, and we'll continue from the next class inshallah from there. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you.